gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, I've never opened a Monday show like this. It's like a porn movie. Why, who's that, Chris? Ding dong. Oh, it's Hal Sparks on a Monday morning.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why, could it be? Hal.
Hump day for Hal Sparks.
Yes. So would you like to tell the Twitterverse why you're here?
Well, I'm staying at your place this week while I'm in New York.
He just stopped by to get the keys.
Yeah.
Why?
That's
are
going
you...
to set the blogosphere abuzz.
Normally, I stay with a couple friends who are here, but they're in the middle of a big project, and I didn't want to interfere because, quite frankly, I wanted to. And secondly, Steph's place is so big that I could stay there, and she would never even notice me. And I mean that literally. I mean,
that's literally true.
You drop off towards the horizon before you can see the other end of the place.
That is, he's a known exaggerator, Hal Sparks.
So you have your own wing.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, shush.
Right, yes. I'll be manservant to Hal for the I'm gonna be cooking all her P90X meals for her.
I did. I told her get to the grocery store and my P90X dinner better be on the table when I get home.
Yeah, right. She's going to rule with an iron hand. This is gonna be
and wear this tight manservant outfit.
Absolutely. The police are gonna be called for, you know, a domestic dispute, you know. I'll be whimpering in a corner and she'll be holding a spatula and I'll have eggs in my hair. It'll be weird.
Be two giant dog standing on him.
Exactly.
He didn't make the P90X meal right.
Stick him. Stick him.
You know, and by the way, Hal Sparks was here for a stand-up comedy thing, Chris.
Right.
And you know what that means.
What?
He was whoring around with other women.
Well.
Connolly, the misfit soccer mom of the Stephanie Miller Show. Dear Steph, I'm so jealous. Here's my whore of a sister with Hal in New Jersey this weekend. She sent me a picture.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She never would have even heard of the Hal or you, Steph, if not for me, her big sister. She always got everything, and I was the poor little match girl.
That's she could have come with her sister, and we could have arranged something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, separately.
Right.
I mean.
Happy Monday morning. Hal's just stopped by.
Yeah.
Like, where is the porn music? It really is.
Yeah,
like,
it should be.
Hi, honey. No,
there we go.
All and right. I handed him the keys.
It's true.
And so he'll be waiting for me when I get home like a good man.
Very suspicious looking key ring. Very, like kind of a little mini phallic. I'll Twitter a picture of it in a little bit.
I said, I think the dogs remember you. Good luck with that. We'll just hear,
right.
We'll just later, Chris, we'll put that call on the air from Hal's cell phone.
Yeah.
What's the safe word? What's the safe word?
She wouldn't tell me what the safe word was.
Uh-oh.
So I'm doomed. I just know it.
But, you know, I have to say, in terms of the comedy community, Chris, that would be like the Chuckles the Clown funeral. We would, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks was eaten by Stephanie Miller's
dogs. Right.
Giant dogs. This is New York. And, you know, because it'd be all comedians there. So, you know, there'd
right.
be a bunch of people would start making jokes and we'd all start laughing.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be spinning in my grave like a hydroelectric generator. Good.
All right. Anyway, Hal, good luck.
Thank you.
Make sure the house is nice and tidy when I get there.
I will. Hold on. I'm just going to take my pants off, and then I got to leave. All right. She had this weird list of rules she gave me, but I'll follow them to the letter because I'm grateful.
You don't have to. Do you have to leave now?
No, I don't have
good.
To.
All right.
I thought you were kicking me out. I thought you wanted
no.
to.
No.
Okay. All right.
But I was going to tell you what I did this weekend while you
Yummy.
Were man-whoring in New Jersey.
Okay. And, yes. I was just a train ride away, I'm just saying. But
I was in North Carolina visiting my Republican relatives.
Oh.
More specifically, my 87-year-old Republican mom.
Oh,
who
no.
I mentioned to you, Chris, at one point we had to wait on dinner because mom was watching Glenn Beck like a baby that got a new mobile.
Oh, no.
She was just staring delightedly at the television in a hypnotic trance, just applauding his every...
But
so wise.
Your dad wouldn't have liked Glenn Beck.
Oh, listen, I'll get into all the discussions that happened
this
weekend. Oh, were there political fights? Everything was going great. And then there were,
Were your sisters there at least to back you up?
Yes.
Good.
I had the one liberal sister there that's even more liberal than I am. I don't know what's happened. She's gone insane.
Because she campaigned for your father.
And the Republican brother that agrees, you know.
With mom, because he's a, you know, that's what you do.
Because he's a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mama's boy. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I didn't want to say that.
Listen, I am lucky. I even survived the harrowing drive literally across the street to the Harris Teeter to get booze. My mom goes, oh, I'll drive you. I was like, you were a bad driver in the 70s. I'm not getting in the car. But she insisted, Chris. Did your mom do this? Like, you're eight again?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, no, Steffi, you'll get hit by a car. I'm like, Mom, I think I've got the crossing the street thing down.
I've been crossing the street for booze for decades.
No, it's, right. You know, Chris, you started to get the, because you're like, oh, boy, there's going to be the arguments, and she doesn't have any wine. I'm like, no, right. Mom, I'd been there like 20 seconds. I was like, oh, there's no wine? Okay, let me go.
Just go to the Harris Teeter.
Oh, dear God, it was terrifying. She's 87, Hal, and she does the, first of all, so I got there, you know, whatever, 6-ish, something, so she's like, it was dark when we got out of there. She's not supposed to drive after dark.
Oh, no.
So, and it literally is on the corner next to where she lives. And so, but just driving from that corner, she's driving the 87-year-old 2 miles an hour.
Right.
Oh, dear, Steffi, I can't. I'm not supposed to drive it. I was like, oh, God, Mom.
Right.
I can't find where the entrance is. I was like, oh no.
Oh, Lord.
She's like, oh, it's dark. I'm like, well, that happens at a certain hour. Well, it wasn't dark when we left.
Oh, no.
That's because it took us.
So then I'm you become the parent at some point, right, Chris? And so then I'm explaining what happens when it gets dark. Like, well, Mom, yes, it wasn't dark when we left. However,
she's seen 87 years worth of sunsets, so why hasn't it sunk in
then I have
by
to
now?
Do it again, Chris, you know why? You'll understand this. Have you ever tried to, I don't know if you, if you ever tried to drink coffee at your parents' house?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, my God.
Chris, what do you and I hate more than anything?
Flavored coffee.
Flavored coffee.
Oh.
Yeah.
And your mom has things that hazelnut. The coffee. I don't mean to be a liberal elitist latte sipping snob. That being said, I'm a liberal elitist latte sipping snob. And so she pulls something out. And first of all, can I just say I go home and I'm like, Mom, those crackers were there when I was in high school. She's a bit of a hoarder, is all I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
she needs to go on that
pretzels
show.
There were pretzels there that I think she opened them. Seriously, it had to be like 15 years ago. And then she has them all rolled up with like a clothespin on the thing because she...
So I got that box of Nilla wafers that are actually chewy now.
Yes.
Because
she's frugal, and I'm, as you know, a socialist, free-spending liberal.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That whole thing is... Anyway, so... So I get up, and I'm like, you know, because this is after the wine, Hal, and after the political arguments.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to have some coffee. She's like, oh, well, absolutely, dear. How's this? And she pulls this chocolate decaffeinated. And I'm like, that's not coffee.
That's hot cocoa.
Then she goes, oh, well, dear, I have this. And there's something that looks like it came off your shoe, like something, you know, like a tin thing that you stepped in on the subway. That's, and she goes, oh, well, that's vanilla something. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, Mom, I'll be right back. So I had to make the other trip.
Go to Starbucks.
For the coffee.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not unlike the trip I'm going to have to make to the grocery store for your fridge. You know?
Like mother, like daughter.
Yeah, different standards is all. Just, yeah,
going to bring you and my honey-do list.
Right.
Yeah, okay, honey, it's time for you to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Yeah, just manservant Hal. Just he'll be back in a minute. Oh, that's wonderful. Where'd you get one of those? He's wonderful.
Oh, dear.
He's a different shade than we're used to down here for that sort of thing.
Oh, listen, I brought show-and-tell props with me today, Chris. You will be so pleased. I brought, the front page of the Charlotte Observer.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. From Saturday, about their Republican candidate there for Congress, who's ahead by 2-1.
Uh-huh.
Candidate expects war on liberals, well-funded paratrooper in the 8th District. They want to destroy you. We'll get to all that. He has a blog called Christ's Blog, in that scenario, be Christ.
Steffi, you were in North Carolina.
And apparently, he has some thoughts. Obama's gay, and this is a fight to the death against liberals. And I told Mom, if she's a good American, you'll need to kill me before I leave, according to your...
Yes, right.
Congressman. So, all right. Let me just say the number one thing dividing families in America is Sarah Palin. Forget it. You just can't. I have a friend that hasn't talked to her family in months because they got an argument about Sarah Palin.
Oh, really?
She is the divider. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Oh. So I brought up Christy. George Will just wrote a column where he compared my dad to Sarah Palin.
Right.
Which everyone in the family, including the Republican brothers, outraged about, except my mother. She said, okay, are you ready? Oh, well, dear, I think Sarah Palin's very smart. She has an awful lot to offer.
Oh, no.
I'm like, really? Well, I think Dad would think she's a dope. Oh, dear, I know I don't think that, and I knew him better than you did.
Oh, well.
No! No!
She did know him longer. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
My dad would think she's a dope. I don't care.
Yeah,
oh.
Right. And your dad would be right. Yeah. Oh.
It just, yeah, I don't. And so then I was reading from this congressman's blog. I'll read from it later because you have to hear this stuff to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this hateful, literally violent rhetoric must destroy liberals before they destroy the country, yada, yada.
Oh, boy.
And she just, I read some of the story. There's the pause. She goes, oh, well, dear, there's hateful rhetoric from both sides. I recently saw Rosie O'Donnell on TV.
Oh,
it sounds to me like you're excusing violent right-wing rhetoric, Mom.
That's exactly, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, and then you know what she took another run at, Chris? God love her.
What?
God bless her.
George
She's
W. Bush?
For years. No. No. She knew better than to bring up George W. Bush and how he was the greatest president ever. As, remember, she wrote that whole letter to him that she read to me.
It was a total fanboy letter.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Laszlo Toth letter.
Oh, like he was a Jonah brother and she's like 12. Oh,
Best president ever.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, Mom. Well, that was nice. I think he belongs in prison. All right, let's...
All right, moving on.
Wasn't that nice of you? That delightful. Oh, all right, here's what she took a run at, Chris. She tried the... Oh, dear, I saw you on that, Joy Bayer. I heard you say a word I didn't think you could say on TV.
Uh-oh.
I was like, really, Mom? I saw what she said, bastards.
Oh. And she whispered it, of course.
Oh, dear, yes. Just like she used to whisper in the 70s, he's black.
Yeah.
Right.
She said, well, I just didn't think it was, classy or keeping with your image. And I'm like, that's exactly my image.
That is
right?
Her image, yeah.
Apparently you don't know my image, Mother.
And she tried one more time, Chris. She's like, you know, Steffi, you can be so funny without using blue language.
Okay.
And what I said, yeah, Mom, but you know what? That.
Yeah.
Did she bring up
that nice Rita Rudner?
No, that's how it started. Is back with that nice Rita Rudner is so funny, and she doesn't use any blue language, and she wears a dress.
Why can't you be more like her?
Why can't I've discussed this with Rita Rudner. How she is the daughter my mother wished that she had.
Yeah.
All right. So. Oh dear, Steffi. Oh, yeah. Here was the most entertaining thing: is her trying to pronounce Garofalo.
Oh no.
Oh.
Oh well, everybody's hateful. I saw that Ginny Garofalo. The Garofalo.
Garofalo.
All right, my manservant that needs to go grocery shopping now.
Seriously.
And I will read from Christ's blog when we come back, the North Carolina Republican
Congressman.
I'll
see you later, mistress.
Goodbye, Al.
Remember, the safe word is orange, because I would never say that in any other context.
I thought it was Ms. Rocky.
I can almost smell my P90X dinner cooking. All right, Hal will be with us again in the New York Bureau on Wednesday with his little Hal stream. The Hal camera.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Christopher.
Yes.
Can you see this glow?
Yes.
It's not just that Hal's here. It's, you know what I did yesterday?
What?
I did the UML workout on the P90X program. It stands for upper, middle, lower.
And how do you feel?
I feel great. Kicked my ass. Let me just say. Hal's done it. We were talking about it. And I love this because I have to confess, I've never done a home workout. I've never used DVDs and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But my gym membership just ran out last week. This was perfect timing. I didn't, it's expensive as hell. I'm sure a lot of you know for gym memberships. Half the time you don't use them because you're too busy. You don't feel like driving, parking, whatever.
Right.
This is, I don't know what, I'm not sure. I think this was about a half an hour. It might have been a little longer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. It was a perfect workout. You use mostly your own body strength. So
absolutely.
It's simple. You don't, there's a few pieces of optional equipment, but you don't need them necessarily.
Right.
Listen, and thank God for my P90X bars in my mom's house. Otherwise, I would have had to eat 25-year-old pretzels. When you're on the run, I mean, it's perfect, at least for my lifestyle in New York, where I'm busy and yada, yada. I urge you to take the P90X challenge as well. The guy that owns the show is coming to take my before pictures since I've just started.
You need to
so
show some abs.
Online.
Show some abs.
I'm a little Catholic girl. Anyway... I urge you to take the P90X challenge too. Check this out. You've got nothing to lose. You can get a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial right now. You can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. How about that? Do it with Mama. Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now and click on the banner ad. 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, Wait till you hear the crazy Republican congressman's blog from North Carolina, where I was just visiting my 87-year-old Republican mom. We will be back with that next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bye, Hal. See you at home later, honey. 25. We're just living in domestic bliss already.
Oh, boy.
Hal Sparks has left the building. Go to go back to my my apartment and get things ready for Mama. And by the way, Bobby Kennedy Jr. in hour number three today. Why don't I have my share of gentlemen callers today?
You certainly do. And we have the Rude Pundit in just a few minutes.
Yes, we do indeed. And Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America co-hosts Right Wing World next hour. All right. I am still recovering from visiting my Republican relatives in North Carolina, including my 87-year-old George Bush-loving... oh, by the way, my sister stayed with her for a few days a while ago, and apparently Fox News is the only thing in the house. After a few days, she's like, Mom, can we turn just something else on a little bit? Anything? Something? No? Okay.
Oh, boy. She probably has the...
Because, you know, she'll say, oh, well, you know, Stevie, I heard on TV, and then I have to go on Fox News, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She probably has that Fox News icon burned into the bottom left-hand corner of her TV just because it's there the entire time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't come off now, no matter what channel it's on.
Yeah. You, you can see it even when the TV's turned off.
Here's something else weird old people do. She has her remote in a baggie. And I was like, Mom, why is that? And she's like, oh, well, so that your fingers don't. Because apparently, you know, she doesn't stop eating or anything. She doesn't want to miss Glenn Beck for anything. So, you know, maybe her fingers are greasy or something, so she needs to have it in a baggie to keep it clean so that she never misses a moment of the Fox News.
What is she eating that's greasy?
I don't know. Who has their remote in a baggie? I don't know.
Old people.
Things that your mom does. I don't really know. Oh, you know what she has, which I'm getting one now?
What?
She has like a toilet high chair. I'm getting one. That's good for drinking. It's sort of like a you know, it puts you up higher because, you know, she has two fake hips.
Yeah.
So I'm getting one of those. It's, you don't have to bend at all. It's like a toilet that's up higher than your normal toilet.
Yeah, my friend had that after his hip replacement. He got rid of it once he got better.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm getting one. All right. And plus, I got to get back in P90X shape because apparently everything I ate as a child had cream sauce on it. I don't remember. I don't know why. I'm not sure why I don't weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yes. My mom. Yeah. My mom did that, too. She made this thing called...
Steffi, are you ready for the cream tuna with the... And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. My mom made this thing called Tuna Wiggly. It was like... It was tuna in a cream sauce with peas, and it was, and you pour it over like crushed up saltine crackers.
Yes, everything that she served. And then even when she made me toast in the morning, she just kept putting butter. I was like, okay, Mom, that's good on the butter. That's okay. She's like, oh, well, no, I'm getting it right in the middle here. I'm like, okay, that's, well, fine. You just put as much on as you want then. So anyway.
Everybody ate cream in the 70s.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but the problem is, I'm citing this, like, right-wing violent hate speech, this candidate, I'll read from the North Carolina paper in just a bit, her candidate. This is what right-wingers do, she excuses everything. I said, well, have you seen they have the, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid pinatas at the CPAC where Dick Cheney just spoke, and you know what she said, Chris?
What?
She goes, oh, well, you have to admit that they're the two worst legislators we've ever had.
Like,
no, we don't have to admit. So it's okay to smack Nancy Pelosi in the face with a stick? But literally, they will excuse anything as long as it comes from their side. I mean, it's just, and it's my mommy. All right. So, you got to hear this. And he's ahead, this Republican candidate for Congress down in North Carolina. We will do that and Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You pert little minxy slut.
Oh, dear. I have Bobby Kennedy in hour number three. I'm going home to Hal Sparks, and it's Monday, so that means I have to come to Papa.
Sleep, Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Slut, look at me. Slut, good morning, Papa.
Good morning, slut.
Oh, you say that to all the girls.
Yeah, I do.
You know, you wrote some great stuff about the CPAC and all that stuff going on, but I was at my own personal CPAC with my Republican family in North Carolina.
Oh, isn't it great to go south and get, like, a reality check?
Here's something that you missed. You probably would have enjoyed this even more than the CPAC. Republican Tim DeNunzio speaks to a crowd at Jim's Guns during a fundraising event in which donors could shoot off a submachine gun and eat barbecue. That's good for the kids, isn't it?
Oh, you know, that sounds like prom night.
because you write about the Family Research Council. You infiltrated them once, and now they send you their missives as to what we should pray for?
Oh, totally. Every week I get a new prayer target list.
Here's something that, let me just say, I'm not sure even Tony Perkins at the Family Council is aware of. This is from Christ War. This is the blog of this Republican North Carolina candidate. Hang on one second here.
Wait, it's called Christ War?
Yes.
Christ War, yeah.
Nice.
Obama better be careful on this one. The gay community will out him if they feel it will help their cause. Those who have eyes to see already know he's gay. You know, killing the fly and all that basketball, a bit of overcompensation, methinks.
Wow. Wow. And somehow shooting a submachine gun is not overcompensation at all.
No, of course not.
For the kids. That's a fundraiser. There's barbecue. It's for the kids.
That's right. You know, killing things with a long tubular weapon? No, that's got nothing to do with being
gay. It goes off in your hand? No, that's not.
No.
I don't know what that's about.
You can put it in your mouth very easily?
No. Lee, so you write about the Family Research Council's the orders. They tell us to thank the Lord for allowing people to be denied health insurance because of a pre-existing condition. We should pray for that, apparently. The rest of our prayerbertation, you write, has to be spent on the gays. For instance, there's queer activity afoot, like the legislative effort to ban discrimination in schools because of sexual orientation. The FRC says the bill will have the effect of giving special rights and protection to those who practice sexual behaviors that were illegal in many states just 7 years ago. Wow, who knew?
Yeah. I think that your child is going to be forced to have sex with Kevin Jennings.
That's what you write, that it calls... Can I have my scary music, Chris? It calls for the repetition of the word homosexual because it sounds scary. Openly homosexual Representative Jared Polis, Democrat of Colorado, chief sponsor of the bill, which would give radical homosexual activist Kevin Jennings almost unlimited power to mandate his vision of homosexual indoctrination in schools across America. You may say, but I don't want my son in high school to be mandated by law to give jobs to Kevin Jennings. But that's just what will happen if the homosexuals and their homosexual hands spread their homosexuality. Homosexual.
Oh, no.
It's all about the homosexual activists. And you know, apparently David Petraeus must be gay, Colin Powell must be gay. They're all gay because that's the only way you could actually want gay rights is if you're gay. Gay.
By the way, did you say gay?
I believe I said gay.
Now, you have had the great pleasure of reading the Conservative Manifesto Mount Vernon statement.
Oh my
God. You write, by the time you read this, the Mount Vernon statement will have been signed by a veritable who's who of and who want to drag America into the Stone Age. Those are words I can't read on my little family radio show.
Oh,
it reads like teabagger porn written in by Glenn Beck, Jim DeMint, and Grover Norquist. What is the Mount Vernon statement exactly?
It's this pre-CPAC thing that they did where all of these conservatives gathered at a library near Mount Vernon, because when Mount Vernon heard they wanted to do it there, the people that run Mount Vernon were like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
You will not darken our doorstep with that load of...
Right. So they did it at some library that was apparently on George Washington's property where you can have your wedding.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And they gathered and signed this thing that were all of these, this affirmation of conservative principles called constitutional conservatism, a statement for the 21st century. And it's just the vaguest bunch of crap that you've ever read. It's like, okay, fine. It's sort of like what they did with the word homosexual, except now they're doing it with the word conservative. If we say it enough, people will believe it.
Oh, wow.
You can read it. It's got just the things in it are just, everything is conditional. It honors the central place of individual liberty in American politics and life. Well, okay. Is that all I got to do to subscribe to your cause? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. What did you think of the CPAC this year comparatively to the other crazy CPACs?
Oh, well, it was fun. I wish I could have been there. It would have been fun to party with Dick Armey and Glenn Beck and to hear Ann Coulter make more gay jokes.
Of course.
Did you watch Glenn Beck's speech?
I saw parts of it, yes. I was forced to at my mom's house.
Oh, I watched the entire thing. I was actually surprised that at some point his skin didn't peel away and a monster just didn't start swiping at the crowd and biting off their heads and tossing the bodies. It was pretty insane. And
yeah. Well, the only thing apparently that got booed at CPAC was Bob Barr saying that waterboarding is torture. That was enraged the...
The election, when Ron Paul won...
Ron Paul!
The straw poll.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, they booed.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's who wins the straw poll, Ron Paul, and then they all go nuts.
And Fox has been in homina mode because of it, because they said, the poll there is going to determine who will be president in 2012, and now they're saying, come on, it's unscientific, and I think Andrew Breitbart's head exploded, and...
Exactly.
By the way, he has been...
They say the Democrats are all in disarray. It's like, oh, please.
Yeah, when you talk to Eric, by the way, I hope you bring up, he's been he has been pissing off Andrew Breitbart. He's been pimp-slapping Andrew Breitbart all over the internet.
On Twitter, it is so hysterical.
Yeah. Eric Boehler, I mean, because it's hilarious how, you know, this is all such a conspiracy. Fox News and the Andrew Breitbarts of the world, Rude, right? To get this stuff out there that just becomes fact. And, you know, and what's his name? James O'Keefe never wore a pimp outfit into the Acorn office. That was part of the whole, you know, to make them look even stupider and, oh, look at, you know, they fell for this stupid thing. And they used cutaway shots and made it seem like that's what happened.
Cutaway shots, overdubs, the whole thing. And Mollert's called him out and he's losing his freaking mind. And it's really funny because he gets so red-faced and it looks like he's a pimple about to pop.
He can tell the story. O'Keefe can tell the story in prison, can't he?
And who confirmed it finally? It was the prostitute. The prostitute was being interviewed and said, oh, yeah, we just did that as a joke, as a cutaway for the B-roll.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it was a constant stream of people saying, boy, doesn't America suck right now? And can't we make it better by... I don't know. And there was never any plan. The plan, I mean, Glenn Beck's plan was to return us to the era of Calvin Coolidge. And other plans were to return us to some fantasy pre-Obama era. All they have is tax us less and spend less.
What do you think of this, the televised healthcare debate this week? I think it's pretty smart. I mean, and the president obviously has... put his plan out today, but I know they would say, oh, this is gotcha, but don't you wish that the president could play the clips that, say, a Rachel Maddow or anybody does of John Boehner saying this needs to be in the healthcare bill, this needs to be in it, and for him to go check, 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 that's all in there. Now why are you against it?
Yeah. Well,
can't they play the tape back in this, you know, not to embarrass them, but to go, okay, this is why, you know, I mean, it's such a load of crap that they're trying to say, oh, if the president wants to be bipartisan, he needs to scrap the whole plan.
Well, and they just bring out a chalkboard. Do the Glenn Beck thing. Bring out a chalkboard and just scribble it on the board. Okay, you wanted this in there? It's in there. And I think the Republicans forget all the time about who exactly they're dealing with. And, I mean, first of all, my attitude towards him putting out a plan is like, really, about time.
Yeah.
But I think that they're sort of walking into a lion's den, and he knows exactly what he's doing in this moment. And it's hopefully, I mean, again, the fantasy Obama in my head is setting this all up to go to reconciliation just so we can
exactly.
Say.
And I love the fact that, you know, you got Eric Cantor whining like a little girl, like, oh, you have to take reconciliation off the table. We're not going to go. That's exactly what you do with strong negotiating, right? It's like, if you come in good faith and you negotiate with us, then that won't be necessary, reconciliation. But but at least he'll be able to prove to the American people why it is necessary if it is.
Well, just to say to them, okay, tell everybody, okay, we're all listening now, Eric. Tell us what your plan is. It's like the kid that disrupts the class constantly wants
right.
to say, oh, I got something to say, I got something to say.
Yeah, and then the whole class turns and looks at him. Okay, like, go ahead.
All right, that's it? You peed yourself? You farted? I mean, that's it? That's what you got. Thank you for stopping class to tell us that.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think it was somebody in the, we'll get to that story later today, but somebody in the Bush White House that basically kind of said Eric Cantor was a dope and his ideas on the economy were dopey.
Yeah.
And like nobody was listening to him even then. They were like, what? That's not a serious plan to get us out of this, financial crisis.
I think the Republicans are actually just a little nudge away from going back to the inside warfare that was going on at the beginning of 2009. It's sort of like they've glued themselves together, but all of a sudden sweat is starting to make their hands come apart. And I think just a little nudge and they're going to be at each other's throats again.
Yep. I agree with you, particularly if that CPAC is any indication. When Ron Paul was
it's great because it shows what it actually shows in some strange way is that the people at that convention were actually thinking more seriously. I mean, I think Ron Paul's nuts, but that they were actually thinking more seriously about the issues than the media expected them to be.
Right.
They expected, oh, Sarah Palin, oh, look, Mitt Romney's shiny, let's vote for him, or Huckabee's got God on his side, let's vote for him. And they actually thought, no, we're going to vote for somebody who actually speaks to our teabagger instincts.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then the whole conference exploded.
Yes.
In a big bag of confetti.
Yes, they couldn't handle it. Everybody has to discredit it. Oh, no. This is not really who we know. We didn't really have good candidates. We're waiting for our chosen one. Where's Scott
right.
Brown? Is Scott Brown around? Can he walk nakedly up there so we can vote for him?
Rude. And by the way, Sarah Palin didn't show up because, of course, they don't pay for speakers at C-Spackle. So anyway.
Yeah, so she didn't have anybody to donate her money to.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right. RudePundit.blogspot.com, our Monday pal. Thank you, Rude.
Thank you. Have fun with the rest of the boys.
Thank you. That is a wowee.
Yeah.
It is a boyapalooza today.
It certainly is.
All right. My mom's a crazy Republican congressional candidate in Charlotte, North Carolina. We will read from his blog, Christ blog, because apparently he must Christ.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. The coming battle, he wrote, will be against the wicked liberal leftist socialist Democrats and their beast in the news media. We will tell you more of his thoughts as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host Right Wing World. And then Bobby Kennedy Jr. from Ring of Fire. Oh, it's getting hot in here.
Are you going to go falconing?
I'm going to take off all my clothes between the Rude Pundit and the Hal Sparks and the...
Oh, we got me, too.
What? You're on Skype.
Oh.
All right. All that coming up, Bobby Kennedy from Ring of Fire in hour number three today. Will be very exciting. He will be live in studio here in the New York Bureau.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com, by the way, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. By the way, I met a fan on the plane on the way down to Charlotte, North Carolina to visit my 87-year-old Republican mother.
Yeah?
A guy just leans over the back seat and he goes, are you going to visit your mom? I said, yes. He said, are you Stephanie? Anyway, he's from Ithaca. He listens on our fine station in Ithaca, New York.
Very cool.
Yes. By the way, I got bumped on my flight on the way back. However, I did get on at the last minute. You know that thing where they overbook it?
Yes.
Yes, I would never say what airway. It is a U.S. airway, but I would never say which one.
That's pretty much the only one that goes into
Charlotte.
Wait, how
did that happen? They overbooked it, and I had no seats. I was like, what? Anyway, but some fine woman, she did the switch with me and volunteered, and I got right. that seat anyway.
But they would have been required to give you some compensation if you would have been bumped.
Well, like there's any compensation for having to stay longer in the deep Republican South, for God's sakes.
Charlotte is a lovely city.
Yes, indeed it is. Yeah, this is what I thought was funny. Okay, so I have in front of me, you see, look, Chris, I brought props for today's show. It's the Charlotte Observer. I just had to. It's from Saturday. And I thought it was hilarious. So on the front page is this Republican candidate for Congress. Candidate expects war on liberals. Well-funded former paratrooper in the 8th District. They want to destroy you. And then, Chris, on the next section, look at that. Huh, in the local and state section, stimulus money to pay for 50 new Charlotte Police Department jobs.
Huh.
Well, isn't that magical? More than $8 million in federal stimulus money is paying for 50 new Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officers who were sworn in Friday and soon will hit the streets. The $8.5 million will pay for uniforms, equipment, and their salaries for 4 years. Huh, you would think my mom would have said, why, thank you, Mr. President, for keeping me alive.
But
with
no.
these new police officers, but no.
He says no.
No, this is who they like down there. You know what, Jed, you have your, give me my dueling banjos, could you please?
Yep.
Tim DeNunzio. There's a picture of him. He's a former paratrooper who made his fortune from bulletproof vests. Now he's braced for a battle he expects once he and other Republicans take over Congress and the White House. That's when the war starts, he said on his personal blog called Christ's War.
Ah.
The coming battle, he wrote, will be against the wicked, the liberal, leftist, socialist, Democrats, and their beast in the news media.
Hmm.
I'm guessing he means.
I wonder how he feels about the Jahoos.
I think one can only guess. They want to destroy you, he said. At what point are you going to realize this is a war to the death? This is a fight that is either the end of the U.S. or the end of them. Me.
Oh, you. You're the wicked.
My mom is not a good patriot. She should have killed me before I left, but
yeah.
She didn't.
Hmm.
I say it is the end of them and their evil world. DeNunzio 52 would dismantle much of the federal government and turn over programs such as Medicare and Social Security to the states. Oh, good luck to you, Mom. DeNunzio, one of a handful of Republicans running for the 8th congressional seat held by Democrat Larry Kissel. Oh, hang on. There's a big story about him, Chris. Hang on, I got to go to the middle section here.
Oh, no.
Less than 8 weeks before early voting for the May 4th primary, his own polls show him with a 2-to-1 edge over his nearest opponent. This time. He hired a former state party chairman as a top consultant, made headlines with his recent machine gun social at a Fayetteville gun shop. That's the one where you could eat barbecue and fire a submachine gun.
Okay.
On his blog, he called President Barack Obama, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, U.S. Senator Kay Hagan, and Kissel liberal leftist God-haters. Strongly anti-abortion, he invoked Hitler in attacking the president's support of abortion rights.
That's always an argument winner. Is when you bring
Obama,
up Hitler.
He wrote, will be responsible for killing many more people before he is finished. Invoking the Founders and the Federalist Papers, he proposed dismantling programs such as Social Security and Medicare and putting the 50 pieces under state control. He would abolish agencies such as the Department of Education and the IRS. Mm. Okay. Let's go back to Christ's War. This is his blog, Chris. It combines politics and religion, always a good mix, with biblical references, numerology, and end times theology.
Numerology?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the devil's work?
I don't know. My astrologer says it.
Hmm.
He's leery of reporters whom he referred to online as the demon beasts. What's about to happen, he said, is the equivalent of a political crucifixion. See, in that case, he would be the Christ in that scenario.
Okay.
He's going to be crucified by the liberal beast media.
Right.
Okay, some other tidbits from Christ War, his personal blog. Obama, Pelosi, Reid, all the socialist fascists, Kay Hagan, Larry Kissel, and all the other anti-constitution liberal leftist God-haters are in the final throes of self-destruction. They know they only have about a year left to finish their agenda of destruction. And then I'd read the one before about Obama being gay, and everybody knows that. And the gay community will out him if he's not careful.
Of course.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The killing the fly, that's how you know. If you kill a fly, that's how you know you're gay, apparently.
No, I think he was saying that he was overcompensating by killing the fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as to look like he's not gay.
Exactly. And
that
basketball.
Whole fake wife and children, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And the basketball. If you play basketball, it means you're overcompensating for being gay.
I think Kobe Bryant would have something to say about that.
The day Wichita Portion, Dr. George Tiller, was murdered, the truth is this murderer lived by the sword and he died by the sword. Now you decide, is mass murder good or evil? Is stopping someone who would mass murder good or evil? Is someone stopping further murders by stopping the murderer good or evil? Well, it's, let's start with illegal.
Got it.
Look at that. Okay. All right, that's he's ahead 2-1 down there, Chris, that guy.
So I've heard.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My, could be my mom's congressman there. Okay. Oh, thank God Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America is here to spoon me in right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Gosh, Chris, I hope I can get on Joy Behar this week just to annoy my mom.
Oh, boy.
I just got back from spending the weekend with my 87-year-old Republican mom.
Yeah.
She goes, I don't. You could, because anything that gets her off her Fox News channel, you can tell makes her cranky. So having to watch me on any show that's not Fox, which I'm not ever on,
because
already
you've been,
she's thrown off her whole axis.
And why aren't you on Fox News anymore?
I've been banned. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
And
Jim,
I needed you
to spoon with this weekend.
What?
Just a lot of political arguments with my Republican mom. It was really a little bit...
Is Obama more of a communist or more of a Nazi? Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. I just know that he's
very
black.
Smart, and she has a lot to offer, Steph.
Yeah, she's very smart.
Uh-huh. Hmm. And, you know, other little tidbits like that.
That's why no one can understand what she says, because she's so smart that no one can follow the...
However, can I just say I did have hope from... can I have some fine American music, please? Because my mom is a fine American. I must say I had hope. Maybe it's the healthcare summit coming up, Jim, and maybe I'm just feeling happy and clappy and whatever. But here's the thing. Despite the political differences, my mom and I love each other, and she's an inspiration to me. And, Chris, you know what? I haven't talked about this a lot on the air. I asked her if it was okay. But she has breast cancer.
Right.
She had a mastectomy. She had radiation. Mm-hmm. She's in the hormone stuff now. Mm-hmm. And she's amazing. She doesn't complain. Yeah. She's got a great sense of humor about it. You know, she's doing great. I mean, she's just finished playing. She's played tennis up till she was 86.
Oh, awesome.
She still she steals a lot of old ladies' money at bridge now. But we should all deal with adversity like she does, seriously. And you know, our family is, she takes a lot of ribbing. Her door was open, we came in, and my brother and I were like, Mom, you're an old woman with cancer. We could have killed you. And my brother's like, stop saying she has cancer. She knows she has cancer. Stop saying cancer.
Oh.
And my mom laughed. She's like, stop bringing up the cancer. But she's, I have some hope. Here's my advice to you. Don't bring up Sarah Palin when you're in a mixed political company. No. It's just it's a family killer.
Oh. I can't believe anyone buys that garbage. I mean, it's just, it's so transparent.
Okay. All right. At least
Reagan had speech writers.
So I spent all weekend in right-wing world, Jim, because I not only was at my mom's getting the right-wing rhetoric in person, I had to watch her watching Glenn Beck at CPAC.
Yeah. God.
Like he was a brand-new shiny cat toy or something. She was just delighted with his every word.
Yeah.
Let's dive into the right-wing world with our good friend Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, God, Eric, I need you this Monday. I really do.
It was a long weekend, wasn't it?
Well, I tell you what, my mom, this is my sister, revealed this. My mom, the television is never off Fox News in her house. So
I think it's a law in any household where the main occupants are over the age of 75.
Yeah.
Fox News has to be on.
Yeah, because that is the average age of the typical Fox News viewer.
It is. And it's,
because they have the highly visible graphics. It's loud enough that you can understand. Yeah. But
they
she
just talk their language.
It's the jitterbug of TV.
Erica, she'll frequently say, oh, I saw on TV, and I'm like, you mean on Fox News, right? But, you know, you write a great piece this week about James O'Keefe and this whole Acorn thing. That, yeah. You know, Andrew Breitbart writes it, Fox News runs with it, that, you know, and this is, again, like you say, it's just one aspect of the story. We're not saying what these low-level Acorn employees did was right, but part of how they sold it in the media,
oh,
aren't they complete jackasses for not being able to spot this phony pimp outfit, whatever, he was never wearing the pimp outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I mean, up to a few weeks ago, I thought he was. Everyone on the planet, I think, thought
he
was. So the story was, you know, that O'Keefe and his Hannah Giles, they walked into the Acorn offices decked out as pimps and prostitutes, and everyone saw that. You know, the cutaway shots is sort of the B-roll of O'Keefe dressed up as a pimp. He's got the chinchilla fur and the cane and the sunglasses. I mean, he looks ridiculous. And so, right, one of the sort of the sidebars to the whole story was, how dumb are these Acorn people?
Right.
It's 90-degree summer day, and this guy comes in, this skinny nerd comes in dressed as a pimp, and they don't just throw him out? So, of course, we now know he wasn't dressed as a pimp, and that was all sort of a huge misdirection and falsehood.
Right. He wore the outfit later. They did cutaways and B-roll, and so it looked like he went into the Acorn offices looking like that when he didn't.
And folks on Fox News were pushing that angle. Breitbart wrote a column suggesting he was dressed as a pimp. O'Keefe went on Fox News dressed as a pimp, and Steve Doocy says he's dressed just like he was, you know, at the Acorn office. So it was this huge... misinformation campaign. Basically, almost every news organization in the country eventually bought it. And now we find out 6 months later it was all a hoax. And so my point is that exactly what you said. This doesn't excuse anything on the tapes. You know, those Acorn workers were sort of shockingly eager to help people break the law.
Right.
But what else are they lying about? I mean, if they're going to lie about clothing, what else will Breitbart?
Right. I mean, just like
about?
It wouldn't have mattered to Fox News, you know, if O'Keefe broke the law, if he got something, embarrassing about Senator Landrieu. Right.
That's right. You know, his spin from that sort of Keystone Cop caper, I mean, it doesn't hold water. So when folks listen to what he says about what happened in New Orleans, they have to keep in mind these are the people who lie about clothing.
Yeah.
So,
and it also calls into question the validity of Breitbart's, you know, universe of quote-unquote news websites.
That's right. Right. He's allergic to sort of journalism standards.
Right.
Big government has not posted anything on his site since this came up last week saying, oh, by the way, we misled everyone on this. He sort of does these mocking apologies. You know, he attacks me, he attacks Media Matters, anyone who holds him up to the truth. It's not journal, it's propaganda. I mean,
right.
It is just propaganda 101. And now he's gotten caught, and he spent the weekend at CPAC yelling at people in the hallways. Who had video cameras? That's how he spent his weekend. So it is what it is. But the main point is, there's a pathological streak here, and you can't assume anything these people say is accurate.
Yep, I love the Think Progress reporter, Ambush Griff Jenkins, the Fox News Ambush reporter, and he says you have to go through the media relations of Fox. This isn't polite. I'm working here. Hilarious. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. Steve Hayes on the Brit Beer on the Tea Party.
In effect, the people who left the Republican Party were either self-identified independents, they joined Tea Parties, what have you. The country is still a center-right country. That's the bottom line.
That's
please.
The bottom line is what he meant to say.
Yeah, I was just reading an article, Eric, and I can't remember, you know, Time, Newsweek, something. But, I mean, clearly this last election proved, if nothing, we're a center-left country. A lot of Republicans and conservatives voted for Obama.
Yeah, but actually the press has still never gotten. I mean, they love that center right meme, and they're just very, very comfortable with it. So conservatives.
Did they go on to explain how we elected the biggest Democratic majorities in how many generations?
Right. So even when the country did that in 2008, you know, within days, I think it was a Newsweek editor saying, you know, we're still center right. So even when we elect people that prove it, they don't buy it. And now with the rise of the Tea Party movement, folks like Stephen Hayes, but even the mainstream press, just use that as absolute confirmation that the whole November 2008 thing was a complete aberration. And now we're really getting back, you know, we're getting back to our roots, which is center-right.
Yeah, this is the real stuff where Ron Paul wins the straw poll. What?
How awesome was that?
No, not Ron Paul.
I mean, between Ron Paul winning the CPAC straw poll and a couple weekends ago, the Tea Party convention in Nashville where they had a birther giving a keynote address. I mean, my point is, can we have these conventions every weekend? I mean, this is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, the party that's, as you know, the tougher on terror and whatever, you know, they vote for the biggest anti-war, anti-Iraq guy. What? No! Not, huh? All right. Geraldo Rivera, this is one of those, those macho towel-snapping moments where he's on O'Reilly. They're talking about what real men they are here.
Listen, I had a 30-year run as Tiger Woods, in a sense, with money that I never expected to have and access to females that I never expected to have because I was a skinny, pimply-faced kid in high school. Then suddenly I was famous, and I had the run. And I remember in 2000 when my wife at the time knocked my tooth out. That's why I totally believe that Ellen, his wife, did hit him with the 7-iron or did chase the car with the 7-iron.
Okay, so that's his proof? Because it happened to him? That's his proof?
Because he's gotten a lot of tail.
Yeah.
And,
Yikes.
What can you say to that but just yikes?
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. O'Reilly always seems a little uncomfortable, Eric, when talking about sex scandals.
I think Americans have to come to grips with the judgment factor in these. We are very, very, very quick to judge, are we not?
Particularly when it involves some scurrilous rumors from some skank about phone sex and falafels.
Yeah, but, you know, Bill O'Reilly has a history there, and so he begs off about making judgment. But when it's not sex, you know, he'll make a judgment about anything in a split second, particularly when it's about Obama and a Democrat. So
right.
There seems to be this gargantuan cat that Bill O'Reilly uses in terms of making snap judgments. So, yeah, and of course he never explains to his viewers why, you know, when it comes to sex scandals, he has this odd hesitancy to make snap judgments, you know, and none of that ever existed. So
it doesn't like when people are too quick to judge people that they're judge other people's family values on a nightly basis and then get caught in an embarrassing sex scandal of their own.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Can you stay in the sidecar, Eric? We have Scotchmore,
sure.
And I'll let you take some Melanta because Carl Rove is in your second helping, just so
oh,
you know.
Boy.
All right. In the meantime, by the by, Mike writes me about PX90. Steph, I'm on day 63. Do your best. Forget the rest. That's her slogan.
P90X, yes.
And you got to bring it. That's what I've learned so far, Chris. I did my upper, middle, lower body workout yesterday. Today I'm doing my cardio mix workout. Here's the exciting thing. You never get bored because it's a different workout every day.
That's right.
I was getting my gym membership just expired last week. Isn't that dandy timing for me?
That certainly is.
I believe that it is.
You know which DVD I love is the Yoga X.
I haven't gotten to that one yet, but I look forward to it.
Oh, I love it.
Because that's my problem, is I tend to do too much of the same stuff, and then your body either gets, you get tired, you get bored, you get into a plateau. So I started P90X. I want you to start it with me. Check this out. I mean, what can you lose here? It's a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days, and if you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. By the way, Hal Sparks cooking your P90X meals for you, that only comes with my program. Hal Sparks is at my house as I speak.
Cooking your P90X breakfast.
Well, he's shopping for my ingredients first, and then he'll be cooking it and making sure it's on the table on time when I get home.
Like any good house husband.
Exactly. I've bought him a very, very tight manservant outfit, and I look forward to getting home today. I'm going to take the P90X challenge. I want you to take it, too. Call them right now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Get it? 800-509-9FIT, or go to StephanieMiller.com right now and click on the banner ad. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. Okay. So you're
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, joined by Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America, finishing up a right-wing world. Is it me, Carl? Is Carl Rove admitting that he is he's a personal attack guy?
Personal attacks do, over a long haul, The argument started in July of 2003, for example, that Bush lied about Iraq, which he did not do, clearly had a corrosive impact over the end of it. But let's be clear, President Obama is guilty of this kind of attack.
I see.
Why does anyone listen to that idiot?
Yeah.
What the hell?
When is his book coming out soon, too? So
I think it's coming out next month, he said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but if the clip went out, I'd be certainly interested to how Obama has engaged in sort of these personal attacks. I certainly haven't heard any.
Yeah.
And I would the evidence, I'm sure, would be interesting and comical.
Yes.
Right.
As opposed to the mountain of evidence that Bush lied about Iraq. Yeah. All right, Hannity on the President and First Lady.
I think that both Michelle and Barack Obama are far more radical than they let on.
Oh.
Far more rigidly ideological than they let on. And they as evidenced by their background and their history.
Oh, their background.
Am I wrong?
Well, you know what those people are like. They're sneaky.
This is very spring of 2008, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, I saw how radical and socialist Michelle Obama was on the Huckabee show yesterday on Fox News.
Too. I know. I don't know how Huckabee would possibly allow her. And, of course, her push against childhood obesity is just a radical, hateful idea that the White
House socialist
sprung on the American people. I mean, Hannity and Fox have been pushing that, you know, they're really radical. I keep waiting for them to show their cards. You know, Hannity has been making that charge for years now, and it always seems to be a mystery. Like if you watch his show long enough, the Obamas will eventually reveal their radical nature. But to date, we haven't seen anything.
Yep. So I don't know why this will strike you as odd, Eric, that there might be a skosh bit of hypocrisy in the fact that Sean Hannity, I don't think, ever said one thing about them using reconciliation to push the Bush tax cuts, which benefited him. However,
Harry Reid, the White House, the Democratic leadership, they're now saying they're going to use reconciliation for health care still. When the numbers of the American people, 30% at best support this health care bill, and now they're going to circumvent the political process and the election of Scott Brown and force it down people's throat? How stupid is that politically?
Circumvent the election of Scott Brown?
Scott Brown. That's the only election that matters now?
Right.
Not the president and the biggest majority in generations. So I see.
Right. Scott Brown was elected. Therefore, the Democrats cannot do anything. Massachusetts sent a message to the country. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bush used reconciliation. I mean, they passed all sorts of things with 51 votes. But Fox, you know, we're going to hear the nuclear. If this actually happens, Fox, I mean, the collective head of Fox News is going to explode. and it's going to be fascinating to watch. Because they never, you know, it's going to be all talk about the nuclear option, how they blew up the Senate, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Fox never cared when the Bush administration did any of that. But now if a Democrat does it, it's wildly anti-democratic.
Well, you know, as Jim Ward always explains this health care reform meeting, it's like a hostage crisis where, you know, they're like, you lay down and let us shoot you in the back of the head. How would that be?
Unilaterally disarm and when we kill you. Right, that's our plan.
I mean, yeah, Eric Cantor's whining, Eric, that he won't show up unless they take reconciliation off the table. Speaker after speaker at CPAC said the only way the president can show he's serious about bipartisanship is to scrap the whole bill.
Just to give up.
To start from scratch, to write our bill. That was one of the great ones. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it was basically throw out your bill, write ours, and then maybe we'll show up at your bipartisan summit.
Yeah.
But, you know, they get away with it in the press. I mean, we have seen all these sort of thumb-sucking pieces in the last week. Oh, my gosh. You know, why are we at a stalemate? And, of course, both sides are to blame. And everyone leaves out the runaway historic number of GOP filibusters. And the press just pretends like, A, they can't figure out why nothing gets done. And if they venture a guess, they decide, well, both sides are to blame.
But, you know, I wish that the president, frankly, would have someone from Media Matters write his stuff for him for this, Eric. Because seriously, you know, they say, oh, it's a game of gotcha. But why not just bring the tape, right? Document everything John Boehner and all the rest of them have said.
Right.
This needs to be in there, and that needs to be in here, and have the president go check. That's in there. That's in there. That's in there. Okay.
Yeah, right. This idea
why is this a bad idea now? I mean, make them, right? I mean, put them on record like you do with people.
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans have been saying for months, you know, nothing they did was ever accepted within the health care debate, and that's not true. The White House has, you know, they are getting some press with this with this fascinating trend of Republicans voting, not only voting against the stimulus, but railing against it, and then basically begging for money for their district. And Bloomberg has a big piece out today on all the Republicans who did that. So I think when the White House does sort of in effectual way do pushback, it can be effective.
Yeah, I love that the only Republican that can be honest is one that's about out of office. Arnold Schwarzenegger basically said you're hypocrites for not, saying you don't want the stimulus and then taking it, Anyway,
He also said the Tea Party wasn't going to go anywhere, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work. Thank you, sir. See you next time.
All right. Talk to you.
All right. There he goes. Eric Bollard. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more from the CPAC. The upcoming healthcare debate and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller was unanimously declared totally cool, who subsequently set in motion another supreme kegger.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1.
Can you put box wine in a keg?
Try to.
You know what? They have sold wine in kegs. You can get wine in kegs.
Awesome.
Wine kegger.
I'm going to turn Hal Sparks into a drinker tonight at my house. Woo! Hal Sparks is staying at my place for a couple nights, Jim.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I don't know. He just came and got the keys. I'll see him at home later.
Yeah.
He's staying till Wednesday, till hump day, till he's on the show with us. So we'll see. We'll have some stories.
Sounds like every day is going to be hump day.
Bow chicka bow.
Perhaps. All right. So, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. coming up live here in studio with us at hour number three next hour. So a lot going on. Is the president's health care thing up yet? It was supposed to go up today, right, on the White House website?
I have not seen it yet. I can check for you if you'd like.
Thank you. Wouldn't you do that? The White House is readying its last-ditch effort to salvage health care legislation. The White House expected to post a version of President Obama's plan for overhauling health care on the website today, ahead of the critical and daring summit at Blair House this Thursday. Put it on your calendar. The plan was expected to require most Americans to carry health insurance coverage with federal subsidies to help many afford the premiums. Hewing close to a stalled Senate bill, it would bar insurance companies from denying coverage to people with medical problems or charging them more. How about that there?
Wow.
Just that alone. Yes, Christopher.
Yes, you can check out the president's proposal at whitehouse.gov.
Uh-huh. Why is he being so secretive about it?
Yeah, where's the transparency? Oh.
Obviously, he doesn't want anyone to know.
It's behind closed doors. There's deals in the... Oh, okay. Senator Mitch McChinless said yesterday he would participate, Jim, but Obama and the Democrats would be wrong to push the bills that they wrote. With a lot of Republican ideas in them. That would be not bipartisan, apparently. Speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, he hoped to compromise a sweet spot, as he called it.
The sweet spot.
Was possible.
I like the sweet spots.
Oh, boy.
And things of that nature.
Get a Sachertorte with some
he often was looking for the sweet spot in the groping scandals. Anyway, he said if you really want to serve the people and not just your party, I think you will find that sweet spot and you can get it done. Look at him talk. Speaking of bipartisanship now that he's on his
sweet
way
spot.
Out the door.
Yeah.
All right. The president in Vegas, baby. Vegas over the weekend with Harry Reid.
I did receive a little bit of heat, I know, from maybe some in this room, when I said that folks shouldn't blow their college savings in Vegas. That doesn't mean I don't love Vegas. It wasn't meant to be a shot. I think everybody here would agree that the only place where people should spend their college savings is in college. There's no contradiction there.
By the way, can I have my love music? Chuck Schumer said over the year, both the president's and the White House respect for leader Reid has only grown. When Harry speaks, the president listens. Politico says Obama and Reid plan to cling to each other through the storm.
Oh.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio clung to that plank of wood at the
exactly.
end of...
Exactly, a little plank of wood until he gets to being convenient, and then the president will just knock him over.
And it'll sink down to the bottom along with
the plank of wood.
Along with that
then
big
he'll just lift
jewel.
His cold dead finger off the wood. Okay,
yeah.
It's time for you to go now. Okay, thank you.
I talk softly and carry a big stick, but instead it's a plank. So it's It's a door, basically.
A door.
I'm king of the world. We. Okay.
He's going to drop that big jewel in the ocean where it will never be found again.
The president's like, that could have taken care of the definite. Where is the friggin' blue diamond? Oh, you moron. All right. Speaking of which, though, Harry Reid, head of the health reform summit, has signed on to a plan to try to resurrect the public option.
Yes. Hmm?
And signaled a willingness to use the 51-vote majority if he could get it through. Reid's announcement came as the White House went ahead with plans to craft their own plan, which they may be open to putting through on reconciliation as well. Yay!
Hmm.
However, Reid nor Pelosi knows that they have the votes to move forward with reconciliation, complicating matters in the Senate, or at least 10 senators who have reservations about using the process to pass reform because, you know, Jim, Republicans might say mean things about
them. Yeah, you couldn't have that happen.
They might not be as cooperative as they've been previously.
All right, we're sorry. We'll give up all our ideas and listen to what you have to say. Just
a little,
to be bipartisan.
Eric Cantor said to be certain, using reconciliation process, the administration makes clear their promise of bipartisanship is dead.
Oh, God.
I am not.
He is such a weenie.
I know, isn't he? Yeah, the president is really, by all accounts, and pretty much every poll shows that he has exhibited extraordinary, and to my view, too much bipartisanship, and has gotten his hands snapped off every time. But now it's okay, it's his fault. Democrats argue leaving the door open to reconciliation does not mean they're shutting it on Republican cooperation. I think it's smart. Obama will present his plan to Republicans, ask for their ideas. If they can come to an agreement on a proposal, reconciliation won't be necessary. But it's called strong negotiating, right, Jim?
Yep.
But
they should have done from the start.
Yeah.
This is what we want. Fire away.
All right. The president on Harry Reid.
You could not have a better fighter on behalf of the people of Nevada than Senator Harry Reid. And I am just proud... I'm proud to call him a friend.
That's right. He could have been somebody. He could have been a contender, Jim. Adrian.
What?
I don't know. He's a fighter. He used to be a boxer. Okay.
He's trying to reference all the boxing movies that have ever been done.
Mm. Exactly. The president...
It was my brother, Charlie. She looked out for me a little bit.
All right. Imagine if you had to run a business like this, where the people who are in your office... are constantly yelling at you, running ads against you, more interested in you failing than the company succeeding. And that's what we've been seeing in Washington.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like to work with you two treacherous bastards. But his point is most companies don't run that way. I thought he made some good points, too. From bank bailouts to propping up the auto industry to pushing health care reform, Obama explained he made those decisions because it was the right thing to do. It wasn't a time for satisfying the politics of the moment. It wasn't a time for playing to the cameras. It was a time for doing what was right. And I think, you know, Jim, I agree with that. I think whether you agree with everything the president's doing or not, I really think he's doing at least what he thinks is the right things to do. I think he knew a lot of this wasn't going to be popular politically.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be tough. He said, I've got to admit, this is health care is an issue I was warned I shouldn't take on. He said there were a lot of political advisors that said, no, health care is just too hard. It's just too complicated. Your poll numbers will go down. You're not going to get a lot of cooperation from the other side.
Well, that's been the case pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. But he said, we can't wait to reform the health care system. Mm-hmm. It's vital for our economy. So, I certainly have great faith in his ability to speak and to explain things clearly, and I hope that, and I think also the camera doesn't lie, that the Republicans are going to be who they are on camera in this thing Thursday, aren't they? All right.
Yeah. Be mumbling and grumbling and saying things under their breath.
Yes, and looking petty and obstructionist.
Rolling their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really hope the president does do what we've been talking about and really explain how a lot of their proposals are in there.
And
so
don't back
why
down.
Are you saying we have to scrap the whole thing?
Don't back down in reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what needs to be done, ram it through.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of weenies, here is Eric Cantor at the CPAC.
We understand the country is fed up with the Democrats. But
it's not really
confident yet that we as Republicans will be any better.
Yeah, because you're jerks.
The people need to see our commitment to enact a reform agenda.
Uh-huh. And when's that going to happen?
Yeah.
Is it me, Jim, or is his voice really annoying and condescending? Doesn't he sound kind of like a male Laura Ingraham?
Oh, God. Sounds a little bit like that. He sounds like he's reading a teleprompter. But he can't get out of that pattern. Everything he says sounds exactly the same.
He was at the podium. Like, yeah, he was at the podium, so he was reading off a teleprompter.
What?
Just like President Obama.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. With more of those hilarious teleprompter jokes. Yep. Okay. All right, Governor Tim Pawlenty at the CPAC.
I think we should take a page out of her playbook and take a 9-iron.
Elon Woods.
And smash the window out of a big government in this country.
Yeah! Smash! Kill! Die! Die! Shoot! Kill!
Violence. Kill. Smash. Yes.
Or you should take some stimulus money and try to prevent bridges from collapsing in your own state.
Yes.
How'd that
or
be
maybe
for
you
a change?
Could, maybe not be a big fat hypocrite and take the stimulus money to close your budget cap and then criticize the stimulus. He's, you know, he has a reputation, Jim, as a big budget balancing fiscal conservative.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. And you know how he balanced that with the stimulus funds. That's how we closed the budget gap in his state in particular.
Hmm.
Just out of curiosity.
I'm thinking that didn't make Fox News somehow.
Mm-hmm. No, it did not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spoke to my 87-year-old Republican mom about this weekend, Jim. That I said, you know, just some of this far-right violent rhetoric. And I said, you know, they had the pinatas of Nancy Pelosi and punching bags of Harry Reid. And you know what she said? She's like, oh, well, Steph, you have to admit they're two of the worst legislators we've had. I'm like, no.
No, you don't have
no,
to.
No, we wouldn't have to. We, you as in we, you, your friends on Fox News might have to admit that. But that's what I'm saying. They just, I'm like, you're not excusing really violent rhetoric. Is that a reason to smash Nancy Pelosi pinata with a stick? But that's what I'm saying. When it's their side, they don't think it's hateful.
We disagree with her, so we think that she should die.
All right,
that's
Governor
just the way things are done.
We know that when freedom is attacked, when our freedoms, our principles, and our values are attacked,
in what way?
A powerful movement will rise up and fight back.
What values are being attacked?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It doesn't really say. It's just kind of a...
doesn't have to make sense. As long
general
as people
sense
get angry.
Of ennui.
No, he's just throwing red meat to the wolves.
Right.
At CPAC.
Yes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more of the red meat. We'll try to tenderize it for you during the break as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Cat class and
Stephanie Miller.
Got cat style. Yeah, don't cross my path.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour. Bobby Kennedy Jr. coming up live in studio with me here in New York in just a few minutes. Greg in Knoxville.
Stray Cats and Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Wow.
What a show. It's jam-packed. It's going to explode.
Greg in... Oh, too late. Greg in Knoxville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning, Mama.
Come on, baby.
You confused me just a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
You compared a voice to the male Laura Ingraham, and all this time I thought Laura Ingraham was the male Laura Ingraham.
it's a dude. All right, thank you, honey. Appreciate that.
It's a man, baby.
It's a man, baby.
All right, here is a right-wing tool, Mike Pence, Republican of Indiana, at the CPAC this week.
Some people around here like to call us the party of no. Well, I say no is way underrated here in Washington, D.C. Sometimes no is just what this town needs to hear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He went on to talk about the health care summit.
When it comes to some health care summit, that's nothing more than a photo op designed to pave the way for Obamacare 2.0, the answer is no.
It's a trap.
Rawr!
They're going to show him on TV.
Rawr!
Weren't they just complaining that he wasn't showing the debate on TV?
Exactly.
Now, this is a trap. No, we're not going to do it. No! No, no, no!
Hey, how about a little crazy for dessert, Jim? Michelle Bachmann closing things out.
So it's Take Back Washington time. We've got the fever. We've got the hope. We're ready for the change.
She be the man.
Oh, my God.
We got the fever. Okay. She urged conservatives to fight to prevent an American decline created by the policies of President Obama.
Of course.
In a long and meandering speech evoking numerous historical references to the American Revolution and the Second World War, almost all of which she got wrong, I'm sure, she said time and time again, Americans have chosen greatness over decline. Conservatives, she said, are the only ones positioned now to choose greatness. The rest of us choosing a decline.
Who won World War II again? Oh, yeah, the Democrats.
Moving to her criticism of the president's spending, she brought a chart. Oh, she's the new Ross Perot of the Republican.
Oh, boy.
She pointed to rising deficits, and she said this is intending to fail. The president is intending to fail, you see, Jim, because it's part of his socialist plot.
Sure. That makes sense.
Don't you love how the whole storyline, Jim, is that the Democratic Party is in disarray? First of all, here's what got boos at the CPAC convention. Ron Paul won the straw poll.
Yes.
Which apparently the CPAC organizers were plainly embarrassed about.
Yeah. It's a commie plot.
He got 31%. Mitt Romney got 22%. Sarah Palin got 7%. They also booed Bob Barr for saying waterboarding is torture. They had a panel called Does Security Trump Freedom? He condemned the right's call to try terror suspects exclusively in military tribunals, defended plans to try suspects in civilian courts.
Wow.
He insisted waterboarding is torture, which prompted the crowd to start. As they continued to boo, he said, how would you like to be waterboarded?
Oh, no. Oh.
Well, he's a member of the ACLU.
Sounds like it started to become like Lord of the Flies there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the final thing is it dissolved into a right-wing civil war over gay rights. Then that was the final... The pro-gay rights Republican organization GOP Proud announced it would co-sponsor CPAC, which, of course, there was a, backlash. They forced the conference organizers to deny the organization a speaking spot. So somebody from Students for Liberty, that's part of one of the Ron Paul groups, took part of his speaking time to thank the conference organizers for allowing GOP Proud to sponsor the conference, noting that Students for Liberty asks its members to be socially tolerant and fiscally responsible. Which is kind of like with Barry Goldwater and, Ron Paul, that's their part of what they really were. He was immediately met with angry boos and heckling because he mentioned the gay at the CPAC.
That's hilarious.
Glenn Beck I was forced to watch because my Republican mother was just, it was like catnip for her.
Does she really like Glenn Beck? Does she know what a clown he is?
Oh, seriously, I've never seen her look that happy.
Clowns make people happy.
Well,
and sometimes they make people very frightened.
They're scary. I find them scary. He said it's still morning in America. It just happens to be a kind of head pounding, vomiting for 4 hours morning in America. That comedy.
Huh. He sounds like he would know a lot about that.
He does know a lot about that, actually.
Exactly. So did you see, Colin, speaking of Dick Cheney, of course, spoke a couple days earlier about how, president week on security, one-term president.
No, actually, he's doing pretty well, security.
Yeah, that's what Colin Powell said yesterday on Face the Nation. He said Dick Cheney's claim that President Obama has made the nation less safe. He said, I don't know where that claim comes from. He ticked off Obama's national security accomplishments, gave a full throw to defense of using civilian courts to process terrorists, and said Cheney's attacks are not borne out by the facts, which is a nice way of saying,
liar. Something tells me that behind the scenes, Colin Powell and Dick Cheney had some big old screaming matches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Powell could take him.
Oh, yeah. He said, I don't know where the claim comes we're less safe. In the 8 years, military commissions have put three people on trial. Two of them serve relatively short sentences and are free. One guy is in jail. Meanwhile, the federal courts, our Article III regular legal court system, has put dozens of terrorists in jail. They're fully capable of doing it. The suggestion somehow a military commission is the way to go isn't borne out by the history of the military commission. He said, to suggest that we have become much less safe because of the actions of this administration, I don't think that's borne out by the facts. Thank you.
Celebrity death match. Colin Powell versus Dick Cheney. Guy who served the distinction of Vietnam.
Take him out with one
and
punch.
The guy who did everything he could to get out of it.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Jim, speaking of the neocons, I love this. John Bolton admits that things could go wrong after a military strike on Iran.
Oh, you think?
Earlier this month, he said there are not two outcomes. There are two outcomes. One, Iran getting its nuclear weapons. The other is Israel, or somebody uses military force to stop it. Those are our only two options, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He had argued that a simple campaign of public diplomacy would prevent Iranian civilians from rallying around the regime after a military strike on the country's nuclear facilities. Oh. We could just do one. We could hire Karen Hughes again.
Right.
Yes.
Worked out so well before.
And it would be fine. They wouldn't even care
well,
that we just...
explain to them why it was no big deal that hundreds of thousands of their fellow citizens are dead.
Yesterday at CPAC, they asked Bolton if this strategy would work if civilians are killed in a military campaign against Iran's nuclear program. He said, I don't accept that civilians would be killed.
However,
he later admitted he's unsure if civilians would die, but even then, his campaign of public diplomacy would still work. They asked, so if there's a military strike by us or the Israelis or whomever, you don't think there'll be any civilian casualties? I can't say that for sure. Things could go wrong.
No!
You think? Do you think? Really?
Well, even Curtis LeMay knew that there'd be civilian casualties if we preemptively attacked the Soviet Union, which he was suggesting in the early 60s. He's like, we may only lose four or five cities, but it'll be worth it if we get those commies. He was the inspiration for Buck Turgeson and Dr. Strangelove.
I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed. I'm saying 10 to 20 million dead cops, depending on the break.
Yeah.
Exactly. Susan Rice, UN ambassador.
We are internally and with partners beginning the process of thinking through what are the appropriate elements of pressure. And that will be a process that will continue over a period of time. I think we should be realistic about the pace.
Now that's diplomacy.
Thinking, talking, Jim. Blah, no, blah, go, blah, do, blah, die, blah. Kill.
She's a
go.
Chick.
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
No. Guys. All right.
That's the only sensible thing to do.
All right. Bobby Kennedy Jr. from Ring of Fire and from, you know, being a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
From the Kennedys.
of the Kennedys.
Bobby Kennedy of the Kennedys, yes.
All right. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. That's what I found out about the lady.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Yes,
well,
do.
Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Which I do. I have my new house husband, Hal Sparks, is waiting at my house for me. Hopefully with my P90X meals all prepared by the time I get home. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Some very upsetting Photoshop funds up, aren't there, Chris?
There are.
I'll get to this in a moment. I made it. Could you take out my ex-Catholic girl organ for me, please? I had a confession last week that, because you can't control what you dream about, right? You're not responsible for what you've done.
So they say.
I had a dream I had sex with Sean Hannity. Yeah. Anyway, it's not important now. It's led to some other confessions that made me feel better. Kevin in Buffalo writes, Steph, I can top that. A couple of months ago, for reasons I still don't understand, I had a dream where I was giving Joe Biden a...
What?
You read that right. And being a straight man, that dream really confused
me.
Okay,
all right.
Nothing.
I suppose if I try to look on the bright side, I can take some solace in the fact that when I'm engaging in unspeakable acts with political figures, at least mine are still Democrats. Zing. Thanks for sharing. I never thought I'd imagine a situation where I could talk about my dream. Kevin in Buffalo, it's all right. There. Now.
Does Mrs. Kevin know about this?
Yeah.
Joe Biden, what?
I don't think Kevin in D.C. would have that same kind of
no.
Sprouse. Okay.
It would be on the down low.
Speaking of which, the Tiger Woods press conference, the superficial, some of the highlights, a bunch of cold, dead words read by an unfeeling robot program for golfing and f***ing. Elin never attacked Tiger, ever. Now everyone nod their head in agreement. She's perched in the ceiling of the foyer like a ninja. I'm sure I'm missing a few points, but this thing was like taking two Xanax and listening to my grandfather describe toast. Lab Rat in Portland has sent up a little mashup of the Tiger press conference.
Yes.
I believe that.
Good morning. Many of you in this room
are my friends. Many of you have had affairs with me, and thank you for joining me.
For one hole or a couple holes.
I want to say to each of you, simply and directly, I am
all hard.
People want to know...
Is it easy? No, it's not easy.
I use performance-enhancing drugs. This remains unchanged.
It's only going to get longer and harder.
And it will continue to grow.
I just enjoy...
All the temptations around me. Thanks to money and fame, I get away with whatever I want to. Some people have speculated that Elon hit me on Thanksgiving night. This is completely and utterly right. And Elon deserves praise. Elon deserves to attack me that night or any other night. I owe to those closest to me to leave my wife and kids alone. I will leave for more treatment so I can save the things that are most important to me. My money and fame.
Yeah.
I want to say to the players in the field this week.
I like my chances.
Finally, there are many people in this room and there are many people at home who believed in me. I ask you to one day cheat with me again. Thank you.
I say it here.
Thank you, Tiger.
You
had sex with everyone in that room.
Apparently.
That was a fun fact I was not aware of.
I knew someone would do a mashup a la Michael Jackson.
I don't think that was a mashup, Jim. That was exactly how I remember it.
That's exactly how it happened.
All right. Could I have some love music, please? This is a meeting I've been trying to engineer for quite some time, as you know, and... Where's my fake knock on the door? Anyway, since I've moved to New York from L.A. a couple of months ago, it's the very first time that... Oh, thank God the door's working. It's Bobby Kennedy Jr., everybody.
Hey.
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
I'm so thrilled that we finally got to meet each other.
Last.
I've cheated on you already with David Bender and with Mike Papantonio.
Really? Has Mike been in?
Yeah, no, Mike's been on the phone, and David's been in. But your show, Ring of Fire, is great. Everybody loves it. So I'm thrilled to actually finally meet you in person. Your eyes are very blue.
It survived.
I'm just saying, you two are watching this up close.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, because you've invited me falconing, which I've talked about, because I'm fascinated with it. I've never been. What does this entail exactly?
I train hawks.
You train hawks?
Yes. And you go out in the woods.
Yes.
And the hawks are just like dogs. They follow you, but high in the trees.
Okay.
And they go catch squirrels and rabbits and pheasants and ducks and those kind of things.
Wait, where do the falcons come in? Are they the same thing as hawks?
Well, a falcon is a kind of hawk.
Oh, okay. So either, okay.
I actually hunt mainly with hawks, but occasionally with falcons.
Wow. Well, I got a second invitation because I had to go to Minneapolis. Okay.
The season's almost over.
Oh, no. Chris,
what?
Falconing season. Why wasn't I told? Why isn't that on my calendar? Falconing season's almost over.
Sorry. March 30th.
What? Sometimes I winter or I antique just too long and I suddenly have missed falconing entirely. I hate when that happens. So you've got I'm curious to get your take, Bobby, on this whole, the Massachusetts seat and everybody saying this is the end of the Kennedy tradition and all that. What are your feelings about that in the family? That had to have been a tough one, the loss of Uncle Teddy's seat.
Well, yeah, I just read my brother Joe says that he wished he'd run for the seat now. So.
Oh, he does.
That's what I read. I don't know if he actually said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to consult him about it.
Well, I hate to blame Martha Coakley, but let's blame Martha Coakley. I mean, I think that the Democrats did get caught napping a little bit, right? I mean, I don't think she ran the strongest campaign.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, was that an emotional thing for, for your family, though? I mean, in terms of, because Patrick just retired as well.
Patrick announced his retirement. I think both. I don't think it was an emotional thing for my family. I mean, political seats come and go. And
right.
There's lots and lots of Kennedys, and probably in the next generation, like my kids' generation, there's a lot of kids that are going to probably end up going into politics.
Right. Now you have six kids.
I have six.
Are any of them? Do you think interested thus far?
Some of them are interested, and their cousins are interested, and. So I think there'll be Kennedys around for a long time. I think that the thing that people are worried about is what's happening to the country right now.
Right, right.
A kind of corporate takeover of America.
Right.
And, you know, and what? He's kind of a friendly, he's another, like, friendly face and a good-looking guy who can sell this, you know, this program of, you know, of corporate plutocracy to the American public.
Oh, the naked guy with the truck?
Oh, the guy who ran, the guy who...
Scott Brown.
Yeah, Scott Brown. Was he naked with the truck?
Yes.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time.
You know, that's what, you know, it's... one thing that gave me hope, though, Bobby, you talk about, you know, the corporate, you know, obviously influence and all that. The Supreme Court decision that was so awful, I mean, at least I feel like we're not crazy. Did you see that poll? 80% of the American people crosses every partisan line. What issue do you see that on today thinks this decision was awful? And Congress ought to do something about it.
Well, it's been illegal for 100 years.
Right.
For corporations. And, you know, Barry Goldwater, I did, the, as you might know, I did the introduction for Barry Goldwater's book, Conscious of Conservatives, 1955 book, which is the Bible of the conservative movement in this country. And he says in that book, corporations should be kept away from government, that they're absolutely, that they're profit-making organizations.
Yep.
That, and, you know, corporations are a great thing. They drive our economy. They encourage people to assemble wealth and then to spend it, and they create jobs. But they should not be running our government. And the reason they shouldn't be running our government is because corporations don't want the same thing for America as Americans want. Corporations don't want democracy. They don't want free markets. They want profits. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the best way for them to get profits is to use our campaign finance system, which is just a system of legalized bribery,
mm-hmm.
to get their hooks into a public official and then use that public official to dismantle the marketplace and give them a competitive advantage and eventually monopoly control, and then to privatize the commons, to allow them to pollute the air, the water, et cetera, and steal from our treasury.
Interesting you bring up Goldwater. Ron Paul's probably the closest to him, and he got booed at CPAC this weekend.
I thought that they – I thought that, well, that's what they did.
He won the straw poll and then got booed.
Oh, that's what happened,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Joe Scarborough was saying this morning that they brought him in on a donkey with palms and everything, and then they crucified him.
Oh, by the way, Chris, did you hear Joe Scarborough was stealing from us? The Marco. Yep.
Rubio.
Oh, they thieved that from us, Bobby. Mm-hmm. Yes, can't you sue him? You're a lawyer, right?
I'll look into that. I don't think that kind of law usually.
Please, go to LegalZoom.com, won't you, type Stephanie in the box? No?
No.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, interesting you should talk about it, because we've had John Dean on a couple of times, who, of course, was writing, you know, the book with Barry when Barry died, The Conservatives Without Conscience.
Well, you know, I had John Dean on my radio show about a year ago, and he said to me, or 2 years ago, he said to me, he said, you know, I went to jail for 4.5 months because we bugged a single building illegally.
Right.
He said my boss was impeached and had to leave office. And he said, the Bush administration has bugged hundreds of thousands of people illegally.
Yep.
And he said, where are the indictments? Where is the impeachment? Where is the indignation? Where is the outrage? Where is the American press in this?
Yeah.
Now, how could they get away with doing something that I went to jail for?
Yep.
So he's really, he's still a Republican.
Yep.
John Dean.
But that's the thing. You know, certainly I'm not the first person to say that it's not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. I don't know who these people are. But anyway, all right, we will be back with more Bobby Kennedy and much more. In the meantime, check this out, with the big healthcare debate coming up this Thursday.
Right.
Rich in Stratford writes me about P90X, which he's doing. He said, I just saw part of the P90X infomercial. One of the testimonials comes from a guy who took up P90X because his insurance company wouldn't cover physical therapy after a bike accident where he broke his neck.
Wow.
And the, you know, insurance company wouldn't pay for it. The guy did P90X, and it has gotten considerably better. I mean, you know. Let's hope that the president can do something about this on Thursday. But in the meantime, I got to tell you, Chris and I are both doing P90X and loving it.
Yeah.
I want you to join us. Here's what you do. There is a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for a full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. What do you have to lose there? I'm getting my before pictures taken today.
Are you?
Yes, I am, since I just started. And then I'll be taking the entire P90X challenge and posting my results online. I'm telling you, I get letters every single day from listeners that have tried it and said that it just simply, it works. I bring my P90X bars with me because if you're on the go, they're a great source of nutrition. The workout is fun. It's easy. It changes every day. It's about, I don't know if they're all, Chris, mine was about a half an hour yesterday. Sometimes they're a little bit more, but they're just,
you don't have to leave there.
Yeah, you pop the DVD and you don't have to leave your house. You get cardio, you get yoga, you get strength training. You get a different kind of workout every day that works your muscles. You know what you get, Chris?
What?
Muscle confusion.
What?
Muscle confusion.
That's what I learned from
thing.
Tony Horton, my trainer, on the P90X DVD.
That's right.
My muscles are confused.
And your what? Muscles say, what?
Exactly. My muscles yesterday, Jim, were like, what? Hey. What was that?
Yeah, your muscles get used to doing the same thing every day or every other day, and you have to confuse it.
Because you know me, I'm like a plow horse. I do the same thing every day. Not anymore. Now I'm confused.
What?
My God, I hope it works.
P90X. It comes with that completely risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now. Click on the banner ad, P90X. Do it for mama. Do it now. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Bobby Kennedy Jr. and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Nothing's standing in my way.
Of course, it's a perfect day. Why, I'm in a Hal Sparks Bobby Kennedy sandwich. Look at me and all my gentlemen callers.
Yes.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And now I can't bring Bobby home because Hal's there. Oh, it's like a 70s sitcom. It's like Three's Company. I'm joined by Bobby Kennedy Jr., host of Ring of Fire.
And later on today, there'll be a big misunderstanding. And Mr. Roper.
Exactly.
And
Mr. Roper will come in and have to work it all out. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate when that happens. All right. So, Bobby, are you optimistic like I am about this healthcare summit on Thursday? I mean, you know, again, this has to be poignant for you, as Uncle Teddy said, you know, this was the cause of his life. And I've had the same reaction you have as you watched this over the last year. I mean, I have hope, though, given the president's rhetorical skills, like we saw with this last GOP meeting, that he might be able to turn this around this Thursday. What do you think?
I hope so. I think that, you know, I think the Republicans are so intent on denying him this victory, because the moment that he gets this victory, all of the punditry will change, and they don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. This will give him a success, and, you know, the economy appears to be recovering.
Well, and they love to rule him out, don't they, the media? I mean, they've done it time after time during the campaign.
And that's now the talking point. But if he gets that one victory, you know, he's the first president. The president's been trying to do it since Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
Give health care. And if he can get that to the country, I think that you know, the pundits will have to change their tune and say this is a successful presidency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the plan today that he's already put on the White House website, Bobby, it's you know, obviously, it's one of the key things, particularly when we see Anthem and a lot of these companies raising premiums 50, 60% right in the middle of all this. In California and maybe, I think, six other states already, it's saying, you know, no, you can't deny people because of pre-existing conditions. You can't charge more. You know,
Paul Krugman had a great article about that this Sunday in the Times. Mm-hmm. Where he talked about the price hikes in California, that they're a result of what he called the death spiral in the insurance industry, which is the result of conservative policies. Because what's happening is that that you need healthy people in the insurance pool, because if you just have sick people, the insurance costs for them go up and up and up. So you need to include all the healthy people, and if you don't do that, the insurance company then has to raise the rates, and that drives out more healthy people. Mm-hmm. And that's what they call the death spiral. So, and what he was saying is that, you know, the only way to save the system is to do what both the Senate and the House have said, which is to make it mandatory for every American to have health care. This is, as you know, the only country in the world, and Teddy used to point this out, where parents can sit in a the only industrialized country in the world where parents can sit in their living room and listen to their child cry in the room next door and have to wonder whether that baby is $100 sick or $200 sick or $500 sick before they bring them to a hospital.
Well, and, you know, as I'm looking at you, Bobby, I'm thinking, you know, of course the president can include subsidies for people, you know, that can't afford it. I mean, I look at, first of all, you look exactly like your father, which is very, which is a little freaky, but I think that I look at you and I think of, you know, Uncle Teddy, and I think, what, where did that Kennedy ethic come from? You have so much. Like, where did it come from to help? I mean, it's been, you know, sort of the cause of your family is to help people that aren't as well off as you.
You know, I think it came from my grandfather. Who and my grandmother and their, you know, Catholic faith. That's the way. When I was growing up, the Catholic Church, this before it turned conservative, and there's always been a struggle in the Catholic Church, you know, between the ethic, you know, the gospel ethic that you're supposed to, you know, which Jesus was saying, you're supposed to help the poor.
Right.
Right. And the Christian Coalition had on its website last year that the principal job for Christians this coming year would be to make President Bush's tax breaks for the rich permanent. And that's not something that is really part of the of the.
Well, that's what always struck me about your Uncle Ted is just, you know, he could have spent his whole life on his yacht, and he didn't. He spent it in the trenches helping people that, that didn't have the advantages he had. And I think you're right. It's like, where is that kind of the actual gospel that Jesus spoke about helping the poor? That's not the rhetoric you hear from the religious right these days.
Right. And Christ said that it was harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom. It was more difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So he wasn't saying that we should be nicer to the rich.
Yep. Back with Bobby Kennedy Jr. on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, I must have really tied one on last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, joined by Bobby Kennedy Jr. live in studio with me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Lynn in Wisconsin, RFK Jr. turned you into a progressive?
Well, he certainly re-inspired me to get involved, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to thank Bobby for attending and speaking in September 2004, the Fighting Bob Fest in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
It was.
I've heard of that. What is the Fighting Bob Fest? Do you have to be named Bobby to go?
Yeah, everybody there is Bob. It's Robert La Follette, who was one of the great progressive leaders in our nation's history.
Oh, cool.
Fighting Bob La Follette.
Cool.
And the other thing, Steph, is that last year we had 10,000 in attendance, but you didn't see the mainstream media covering it like CPAC, did you?
Yep, I know. I know.
Or Sarah Palin had 600 people.
Exactly.
Yep.
She was on every media outlet, mainstream media outlet in the country. And
I know.
Fighting Bob Fest gets 10,000 people every year, and nobody covers it.
Well, you know why they don't cover it? Because in Madison, you're just a bunch of, you know, Satan worshippers, I think.
In Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you understand what we're saying, Lynn. You can only cover so many chicken sacrifices.
Exactly. Well, I hope Bobby comes back, and Steffi, I think you should come too.
Oh, I'm there.
All right,
I'm there.
Great.
All right, thank you, Lynn. So you, Bobby, you focus on environmental stuff a lot. I know on your show, and you're technically an environmental lawyer. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. What? What is
I've worked for 25 years for NRDC, which is the biggest environmental group in the country. It's got about 1.5 million members and 270 attorneys. I'm a senior attorney there. And then I am...
Bobby's pants are ringing, just in case you want to... And who could it be? Don't you want to know who it is when Kennedy's pants are ringing? What? Who is it? Who is it? Can we talk to them?
No.
It's somebody important. You know it is.
It's
Anyway, go ahead. So, and how did you get interested in that?
From when I was little, I was interested. I was always in the outdoors. I was kayaking from when I was very, very young, training hawks, racing pigeons out in the woods all the time. And I saw, from when I was very young, I saw, in fact, when I was 9 years old, I announced that I was going to write a book about pollution and the environment. And I wrote a letter to my uncle, President Kennedy, who was in the White House at the time, and asked him to meet with him on that issue. So he invited me to the Oval Office, and I brought a salamander in and presented it to him.
Not everyone can tell the story. This, yes, uh-huh.
And then he set me up to do interviews with Stuart Udall and with some of the other environmental people in his administration. So I was interested in it from when I was just a little kid. But our show, you know, it's the environment is intertwined with democracy. It's probably, you know, the best measure of how a democracy functions is how it distributes the goods of the land, the right. commons, the air we breathe, the water we drink,
right.
the shared resource of our society. And we're not
right.
protecting the environment for the sake of the fishes and the birds. We're protecting it because it's the infrastructure of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to meet our obligation as a generation, as a civilization, as a nation, which is to provide our children with communities that give them the same opportunities for dignity and enrichment and prosperity and
right.
good health as the communities that we've got. We've got to start by protecting our environment.
Well, you know, it strikes me that I tried to grow shrimp for my eighth grade science fair, but I had no access to President Kennedy in the Oval Office, and I'm quite certain I could have done better, you know, if I actually, I recall the light bulb went out and all the shrimp all the shrimp died, so I didn't end up pursuing environmental causes, but...
What grade did you get on that project?
Yeah.
I don't think I did very well. I tried to stir them up so they looked like they were swimming before the judges went by. But, you know, but you as you were saying, well, you invited me falconing and to play ice pond hockey. So I know that the Kennedys always have it's a very outdoor, that's probably where you learn this love, right, of just the environment in general. But it must pain you to watch this, like, same dopey storyline every time it snows in the winter in the East Coast to have these global warming deniers be like, oh, see, there's no global warming because...
The cigarette industry, from whom they learned all their dirty tricks, for 60 years protected its product from regulation, even though they were killing one out of every five of their customers who used the
right.
product as directed. And you remember 8 years ago when the CEOs of the seven American tobacco companies all appeared on Capitol Hill.
Right.
They all raised their right hand and swore under oath that they did not believe that nicotine was addictive, that they did not believe that cigarette smoking caused any ill health impact.
Right.
Well, everybody knew they were lying, but they did it anyway. And these are people who are so-called respectable people. These are the pillars of the business community in our country. And yet they were willing to get up there and lie mm-hmm. and kill people in order to protect their profit margin. Well, if you compare their profit margin to the profit margins of the coal industry and the oil industry, they're not even on the chart. So, you know, you have people like Rex Tillerman, who's the head of Exxon, and Don Blankenship from Massey Coal, and they also are willing to come out and lie to the public, and they have created this infrastructure. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars through the American Petroleum Institute, mm-hmm. which is the parallel for the Tobacco Institute. I'm trying to confuse the American public. They have hired these slick PR firms like Burst and Marcella and Hill and Knowlton to lie. They've created dozens of think tanks, phony think tanks on Capitol Hill, like the American Enterprise Institute, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the Cato Institute, the Heritage Foundation. All of these think tanks are funded primarily by polluter money.
Mm-hmm.
And they fill them with these phony tobacco scientists, we call them biostitutes, who, you know, like Elizabeth Whelan and Fred Singer. And Fred Singer has not published in a refereed publication, a peer-reviewed publication, since 1956. And yet he'll go on Wolf Blitzer,
right.
you know, and he'll go on one day, he'll get on TV and say that, you know, that cholesterol is good for you. The next day he'll say that seatbelts, you know, kill people. The next day he'll say whales like being harpooned. And then the next day he'll say there's no such thing as global warming. And Wolf Blitzer will put him on right next to Rob Watson, who's the top climatologist in the world. He's done hundreds of peer-reviewed publications. And he'll act like they're equals.
Right.
And they both tell their story, and they both sound kind of credible.
Mm-hmm.
you know, in the 2 minutes they're given, and then Wolf Blitzer says, okay, we've done our job as journalists.
Yeah, well, no. We'll have to end it there. Yeah.
We'll have to end it there.
Didn't Jon Stewart do that, Jim? He did a thing where Wolf Blitzer always has to end it there before the liberal gets to respond to the ridiculous thing.
Yeah, but I want to say, we'll have to end it there.
We'll have to end it there.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let's not end it there. Let's end it on something that's actually true, Wolf. How about that? So, you know, speaking of which, I mean, obviously a lot of these ads we see, they're by the insurance companies for this, you know, in the midst of this health care debate. And you have a senator, give me Chris.
Well,
you
look who advertise on TV. It's pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies.
Absolutely.
And there's no way that they're going to put something on. Right. Go ahead and you're saying, I want
Senator,
to tell you a story.
Yeah, Senator Mitch McChinless on the health care summit.
If they're going to lay out the plan they want to pass 4 days in advance, then what are we discussing on Thursday? But look, I'm gonna go there in good faith.
Of course you are. Well, just like he's been there the whole time in good faith. Yeah, and by the way, the plan has their ideas in it too. I mean, that's the thing.
This is the Republican plan. This is the plan that John Chafee proposed and Nixon proposed.
Yeah.
Except it's weaker than the plan that Nixon proposed. Mm-hmm. This is Mitt Romney's plan from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a Republican plan. This is not a Democratic plan. The Democratic plan was single payer health care.
Yeah.
That was the Democratic plan. This is the Republican plan. And now they're trying to kill it.
I know. Mike Pence is afraid to say setup.
Well, we can't help but feel like here is the Democrats spell summit S-E-T-U-P. And all this is going to be is some media event used as a preamble to shove through Obamacare 2.0.
It's a setup. They might look like obstructionist asshats. That's what they're afraid of, Bobby. They don't want that kind of transparency.
No.
All right, Kathleen Sebelius talking about reconciliation.
Certainly, if it's part of the decision of the Senate leadership to move forward, absolutely. And the president said from the outset he thought that was a great way to provide cost reduction and competition.
I mean, I think this is smart negotiating, don't you? You're a lawyer. It's like, look, if you come to the table in good faith and we can come up with compromises, we won't have to use reconciliation. But, you know, at least you'll be able to show the American people why we might have to.
Right. I think that I hope that's what the White House is up to. I hope it's Plan B.
Oh dear God! Bobby Kennedy Jr. cell phone ringing. Who is it?
Barack again.
It's the president.
Yeah. It's the president. He has to go. go ahead.
Shut this thing off.
Oh, listen, it's okay. You don't want to interrupt your important business with the little
Stephanie Miller
fart joke radio show. That's you're Kennedy for God's sake. All right. You had a story you were going to tell us when we get back.
Okay, I'll tell you when you get back.
Yes. And if you would like to ask Bobby Kennedy Jr., and who wouldn't?
Right.
I'd like to ask him something. 1-800-STEPH-12 is the phone number. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Joined by Bobby Kennedy Jr. live in studio here in the New York Euro. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dawn in Detroit wants to talk to Bobby. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Dawn.
I'm a great fan of yours, and I was a great fan of your show, and I can't get it anymore here. They don't play it on the local station.
What?
And yeah.
WDTW, I will be on the phone to them the moment I'm off the air here.
Yeah, please do, because I've emailed them, I've called them, I've done everything. I can't get it anymore locally, and I've even got XM Radio. Could you tell me if you're on XM?
We were on XM, and when I think Ring of Fire got taken off of XM, and we got taken off, but we're hoping to get back on XM, and we're right now expanding our affiliates. We just went from 40 to 43, so we might be coming back to your neighborhood.
Check your local listings. How do you find out stuff about Ring of Fire?
We got sucked into the vortex with Ring of Fire as they went down.
Air America, you mean?
Air America, yeah.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What is it? This ringoffire.com or?
Ringoffireradio.com.
.com. Okay, yes. Dawn, so check that for all the updates, okay? Oh, all right, she went away. Okay. Damon in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Damon.
Hello. I really appreciate the Kennedy family's efforts in fighting for the people. And I just wanted to ask a question if you had heard about the article that was in the Detroit News that the terror suspect kept his visa, avoid tipping off a larger investigation. There was a House Homeland Security meeting on January 27th, and a Patrick F. Kennedy, he's not related to you, I understand, but testified that he was intentionally allowed to keep his visa so that they can continue an investigation to get further leads. Have you heard about this?
No. And he's no relative of mine. Let me stress that.
Kennedy. All right. Thank you, Damon. What's your take on that, Bobby, as an attorney, and the whole civilian and criminal trials? I mean, you know, in military tribunals. I mean, Colin Powell was saying how, you know, the civilian courts have been more effective
and you know, we pride ourselves on the greatest system of justice in the world. And Republicans are frightened. You know, it used to be law and order Republicans who revered our criminal justice system.
Right,
We tried Timothy McVeigh. We had tried the original World Trade Center bombers. We've tried, you know, terrorist suspects throughout our history.
Colin Powell pointed out, he said, you know, what is it, just sound tougher to them, military tribunals? He said there have been three of them. Two of those guys are out now.
Right.
You know, like, well, what makes you think that's a better way to go?
And it doesn't look good in front of the world. It's much better to try people according to our system and say we have faith in the American system. And you know, we shouldn't be torturing people. We should be trying them in front of our courts. And it's not a way of going easy on terrorists. It's a way of trying people. We put really bad people. If I was a terrorist, I would be frightened to go into an American jail because the guys in there are pretty tough.
Right, right.
We try some really bad people in our jail system. What's the difference?
Here's the question of the hour. Why won't Dick Cheney shut up? Do you think? And go away. Why?
I don't know. He's like, he's Darth Vader. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think people who know Dick Cheney and who, like Brent Snowcroft and people like that who were good friends with him during the Reagan administration said that after his stroke that he changed in some very dramatic way and that he got very paranoid and that he got very opinionated. And I've talked to doctors who've said that happens, that often happens after heart attacks, excuse me, not stroke, with people that they have subtle personality changes. But this seems, you know, what he does seems to me to be pathological.
Yeah, he made the evil seem much more charming, I guess, before that. Yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing, though. I mean, I think that people have pointed this out about former either vice presidents or vice presidential candidates. My father had the decency to shut up and go away unless they asked him what he thought. You know what I mean? But this is just unprecedented, Sarah Palin and from Dick Cheney.
You know, the big issue is that all of the things that the Republicans are doing right now on these issues seem so anti-American to me. It used to be that conservatives like Barry Goldwater and like your father cared about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Right.
But these were the guys who have passed the Patriot Act, you know, that and they say they're scared of big government. Well, they made government as big as it can get. They made government so that it can come into your bedroom, so that it can pick you up on the street and torture you, so that it can send you to black prisons in Syria and Jordan and Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, we were taught that the difference between us and Castro was that Castro was torturing people in Cuban jails, and Americans would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're doing that.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that. Well, this is why we wanted to meet, because you were saying that it would be like the two political dynasties meeting, and I said, well, you have a dynasty. I just had the one guy. But unless I get some Miller somewhere, Chris, and, you know, elected a dog catcher or something, I'm not really contributing much here to the whole, you know.
Well, I think your brother ran, didn't he?
Well, he lost, though.
Okay, well,
that doesn't really count. That doesn't really make me a Kennedy. but one of your other relatives, Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of your in-laws, I've been saying this, but I find it interesting. It's the people that are leaving office that are finally being honest. He said, he said the other day, I find it interesting you have a lot of Republicans running around pushing back on the stimulus money and saying this doesn't create any new jobs. Then they go out and they do these photo ops and they're posing with a big check and they say, isn't this great? Anyone that says it hasn't created a job, they should talk to the 150,000 people that have gotten jobs in California. They asked him in the private sector. He said, yes, in the private sector and from the public sector, so I'm happy to get this money. I mean, do you have to be leaving office to tell the truth?
Well, you know, Arnold always has had that part of him that's been willing to, let's say, challenge the right-wing status quo of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And at least privately, he's always, you know, talked about these guys as people who wanted to really destroy government.
Right.
He said, you know,
I always thought he couldn't be that right-wing if he ever really wanted to have sex with a Kennedy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no way she would cut him off.
Do you? What are the family dinners like? Does he say, I just need to know, does he say things like, did you pass the gravy and things of this nature?
Yes.
Does he privately say things of this nature after everything he says as well?
Of this nature, no. No, he's funny and he's smart and he's, you know, he's a very smart guy. Maria's very smart. The Shrivers are all, they're very loud. They're very argumentative. they're extremely opinionated.
What is a family dinner like at the Kennedys? How do you get a word in?
The Shrivers' house, particularly, if you walk into the Shrivers' house during dinner, if you're not used to hearing people screaming at each other, you think somebody's about to be murdered.
Oh my God!
but it's great. And, you know, they have people there. They have the greatest intellects in the country. They have, they have people. They have Larry Tribe from Harvard, and they have people. And then they just argue. They sit at the dinner table for 2 hours.
I love it. I love it. Can I get invited to something? I just want to. Yeah. I want to know what that's like.
Play your cards right.
to be at a Kennedy dinner and try to get a word in edgewise. Bobby Kennedy Jr., the show is Ring of Fire. And Chris, you say the website is
ringoffireradio.com.
ringoffireradio.com. They're picking up all kinds of news stations, so make sure you check for information on it. It's a terrific show. David Bender, Mike Papantonio, all of whom we've had on the show. The three of them host a terrific show every week on Ring of Fire. Bobby, great to finally meet you.
Yes, you too, Steph.
All right. I'm going to pencil in falconing on my calendar.
March 30th. That's
okay.
The end of the season.
Oh, dear God. All right. Bobby Kennedy Jr., live on The Big Show. Don't forget, join us tomorrow. And we have another great show planned for you. See you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.